I'm going to turn to the Word again this morning. You'll remember that 2 weeks ago I gave the illustration of driving up the motorway and the sign, fog, slow down, and we looked at the fact that we're living in the what would seem to be the end times, with the signs around us that are pointing towards the fact that Jesus is coming again. And I trust we believe that. Amen. He's coming again. And you remember that last time, because of time, and I'm watching the clock again now, I had to just briefly wind up with 3 points, which were, first of all, that we need to keep the faith. Secondly, we need to keep focused on Jesus. And thirdly, we need to keep fit spiritually. And so I want to just enlarge on those 3 points, or see how far we get anyway, with enlarging on those 3 points again this morning. So I said we believe that Jesus is coming again, and believe that we need to be in that place of preparedness, watchfulness, for he could come at any moment, and we just need to make sure that we are ready. And so the scriptures that we're going to share, I'll share as we go through. The first one, in line with keep the faith, is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'll read verses 11 to 12. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So keep the faith. Three important words, aren't they, in these final days in which we are living in. Keep the faith. We know that this is a letter that Paul has written to Timothy. And Paul and Timothy, I'm going to try and stand back a bit higher because this is a bit high for me. Paul and Timothy had what we would call a spiritual father and son relationship. So Paul saw Timothy as his spiritual son. And he loved writing to him. He loved encouraging him. He loved doing what he could to keep Timothy moving on and progressing in his Christian walk. And, you know, it's good that we could all have somebody that we can look up to, isn't it? Somebody that can be like a spiritual mother or a spiritual father, that we can go to, we can turn to, and they can be there to help us, to advise us, and to encourage us. And this is a sort of relationship that Paul had with Timothy. I had a friend, he was my cousin's husband, who was older than myself by just a few years. And while we were in Hereford, he was the pastor, and I was an elder in the church, and he was like my spiritual father. And we had that same kind of Paul-Timothy relationship. And he eventually moved away, and I moved away, and we were both pastoring churches. But even though we were still both pastoring churches, we still had that spiritual father, spiritual son relationship. And when we met up at conferences or anything like that, we would just set time together to spend time together, and we could just sound each other off. And we could just share with one another those things that were bothering us or burdening us and everything else. And that relationship was there, where he would encourage me and likewise I would encourage him. And it was a sad day when, sadly, when he was only 63, he died very, very suddenly. And I lost what it was, my spiritual father. But thank God, God always replaces, and he puts other people in your pathway. And I just encourage you to find someone that you can turn to. especially in an hour of need, a time of need, where you can just open up your heart, pour out your heart, trust them and allow them to just encourage you and to bless you. But here, as we come into this portion of scripture, we find that Paul gives Timothy some sound advice. It's in verse 12. He says that fight the good fight of the faith. In other words, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. I think it would be fair to say that every one of us, at some point, even if we might even be doing it now, we are willing to stand up and to fight for a good cause, aren't we? If you find that there's something is happening and it's something that you can relate to, then you want to stand up for it. You want to fight for that cause. You want to make sure that whatever needs to be decided and whatever it takes place. Well, I want to say this morning, when it comes to the faith, our faith, the faith, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is more than a good cause. It's a good cause, but it is good news. It's truth that matters not only for time, but for eternity. And we need to stand and to keep the faith. We need to fight a good fight for the Christian faith. We're living, as it were, in days that were very similar to the days of Noah. Jesus said that that's what it was going to be like before he came again. As it was in the days of Noah, they'll be eating, drinking, getting married and divorced and everything else. And that's the society that we're living in. And also in the days of Noah, no one cared or listened. And as Paul preached righteousness, we know that nobody took any notice because nobody else entered the ark. And that's the society that we're living in today. We can preach, we can teach, we can share the good news, and so few are caring or wanting to listen. And so today, the world is shutting its ears and it's shunning the Christian message, so much so that we're going to be opposed more and more as we want to stand and to declare the good news of the message of the cross. And so we need to heed this instruction from Paul. We need to heed what he's saying, and we need to be willing to stand and to keep the faith and to fight the good fight of the faith. And so I, as a spiritual father, as a pastor and as a shepherd, I exhort you, keep the faith. In these days in which we're living in, as the days are going to get darker, as the way is going to get more difficult, stand firm, fight the fight, and keep the faith. There's a scripture in Luke chapter 18 that says this. I'll just read the last part of the verse. It says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" That's a question. And it's a parable that Jesus has given. He's asking the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That tells me that Jesus knows that when he comes again, it's going to be difficult times. He knows that the faith of many is going to wax cold and go dim. He knows that when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? And that should behove us to think to ourselves, if the Lord Jesus asked that question, will he find faith on the earth, how much we need to keep the faith. Keep the faith and fight the good fight. Secondly, we need to keep focused on Jesus. Or for a second point, we need to finish the race. This point is obviously linked to the first point, but I just want to focus on this one a little bit. Keep focused on Jesus. And we'll go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 to 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep focused on Jesus. And simple question I want to ask this morning is this: who or what are we focused upon? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? Who or what are we focused upon? I want to suggest this morning that if you focus on the world and the lawlessness which is abounding all around us, you'll become depressed. You'll agree with that, won't you? If you focus on the wrong and the lawlessness that's around us, you'll become depressed. If you focus on the COVID-19, and I know that we've got to be careful and watch what's going on and understand it, but if we put everything else out of our minds and just focus on COVID-19 and everything else that is attached to that, then I would say this morning, we're going to become extremely downhearted. If we focus on world affairs, then I'm sure that you'll find you're going to become disillusioned, because world affairs just seems to be changing all the time. One minute you're supporting something, the next you're against it. And we just, you know, if focus on what's going on, not only in our own country, but the other nations of the world, then you're going to become disillusioned. And if you focus on anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to suggest this morning, you're going to become disenchanted. Because other folk are going to let you down. Other people are going to disappoint you. But if you focus on Jesus, you will not be disappointed. I want to make that clear this morning. If we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be disappointed. But we will find that the more that we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and try to push these other things to one side and not allow them to take our focus and to take our gaze, focusing upon Jesus, we will find that we will be determined to run the race, not allowing anyone or anything to distract us or to divert us. Somebody that is involved in a race, such as, you know, like a marathon, or what they do in the Olympics, athletics, you know, the racing track. As a runner is getting ready to start from the starting blocks to run the race, you'll discover when you're watching them that they dispose of or they discard of anything that is going to hinder them in the race. If they've entered the racetrack with a bottle of water, they get rid of it. If they enter the racetrack with a tracksuit on, you know, long trousers and a jacket to keep them warm, the moment they get to the starting blocks, they get rid of it. They strip down to the very bare minimum, the essentials, to be able to run the race. And the reason why they do that is because those other things will be detrimental to them getting to the finish of that race. I want to suggest this morning that we too need to be determined to dispose or to discard of anyone or anything that would prevent us from keeping focused on Jesus and finishing the race in which we're in. Wouldn't it be awful if when Jesus came again, something was slapped upon us, three letters, DNF, did not finish. Wouldn't that be awful? I pray that God will help each one of us to keep focused on Jesus so that we finish the race. And then the third point is keep fit spiritually. We're going to go to 1 Timothy again, and this time chapter 4 verses 6 to 10. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is a Saviour of all people, especially of those who believe. Keep fit spiritually. We're living in an age which is keep fit mad, isn't it? You've got to watch the news sometimes, and when you do watch it, you know, there seems to be an emphasis at this moment that we're a nation in particular that is getting what they call, the word is obese. They say that we're getting fat. And the longer society continues like that, they say that we're just getting fatter and fatter. And so they're emphasizing, pushing, that we need to do something about it. And lots of things are taking place, and one of the emphasis in on the fact that we need to keep fit. And today, there is big money in the business of keep fit. We've got gyms, we've got leisure centres, tempting folk to enrol with annual membership to get us to become physically fit. And that's okay. But me personally, I'm not bothered in joining a keep fit place or anything like that. I'll just try and do the best I can. But we do need to keep fit. When I was in school, I had a games teacher. His name was Mr. Gallagher. And I have to be honest with you, the one lesson that I hated most was PE, physical education. I hated PE, and I would do absolutely anything and everything I could to make sure I didn't go to the PE lesson. Any excuse I could find, and even to the point that I would bunk off from school so that they would think that I wasn't in school that day to go to PE. But as I said, I used every argument I could. Remember, one day, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to be bold. And this is when the King James Version came in very handy. And I refused to go to my PE lesson. I was a little bit of a rebel in that way, as far as PE was concerned. And Mr. Gallagher said, "Hayden, why don't you want to do PE? What's wrong with you?" And I said, "Well, it's like this, Mr. Gallagher. I'm a Christian, and the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little." He looked at me and said, "I don't care what the Bible says. You're here at school, and when you're supposed to be in my lesson, I expect you to be in my lesson and to join with me." Well, I didn't join very often after either way. But we need to keep fit, don't we? But I want to suggest this morning that more importantly, if I dare put it this way, we need to keep spiritually fit. We need to keep spiritually fit. We need to make sure that spiritually we're in a fit position. So just 3 points on how we can make sure that we can remain spiritually fit. First one is, get fat on the Word of God. Get fat on the Word of God. Now, when I had my bowel surgery for my Crohn's disease, I'd gone down to a skinny little so-and-so, and after I'd had the surgery and I was about to be discharged, the surgeon came to see me, and he gave me some, as far as I was concerned, was some very sound advice. He said, "When you leave here, make sure you eat plenty of junk food." Now, I don't mind McDonald's and all those places, so make sure you eat plenty of junk food. And the purpose of that was that I needed to get some fat back on me. I needed to get some nutrition and everything else on me to build my body back up again. And so his encouragement was to get fat on some junk food. Well, I want to suggest this morning, we need to make sure that we get fat on the Word of God. Get fat on the Word of God. You know, I wonder how many meals we have a day, and snacks in between. But I wonder how many spiritual meals we have. Wonder how much time we spend in the Word of God, reading it, absorbing it, allowing ourselves to become spiritually fat on this which is found in the Word of God. So get fat on the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to absorb it. We need to meditate upon it. Because you'll be surprised how often when we need something, the Word of God comes back to our memory. As the Word of God comes back to our memory, it feeds our soul, it feeds our spirit, it strengthens us, it helps us, it encourages us, and it keeps us going. It helps us to run the race. See, the athlete needs a good diet to run the race, and we need a good diet to run the race. And our diet is to get fat on the Word of God. Second point is that we need to get fervent in prayer. I don't mean by that, you know, sometimes we think that we've almost got to be on our knees all the time, spending hours and hours on our knees, and thank God that there are some that can do that. And I thank God for those that are intercessors, and I know that my life has been impacted because I know of ladies in particular who have spent time interceding for me. And they can get up in the morning, they can have some breakfast, and they can spend hours on their knees just interceding. And we're not all like that. But we can live prayerfully. We can live prayerfully. You can walk and pray. You can pray and drive as long as you don't close your eyes. You know, in whatever you're doing, in whatever we're doing, you know, I can be out in the garden and something will come across my mind, and even as I'm carrying on with what I'm doing, I will pray for that need. And we need to get fervent in prayer, because the scripture says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man or righteous woman avails much. And we need not only to get fat on the Word of God, but we need to get fervent in prayer. And can I suggest even more so today, when Christianity is under attack? We see it time and time again, where if you stand up on godly principles, you're almost threatened with your job. You're threatened to be taken to court. And we need to pray against this, which is coming against us as the people of God in this day in which we're living in. And then the last thought is that we need to get fellowshipping with the household of God. Now, of course, I know that's a little bit difficult at the moment. But you know, the restrictions aren't going to be gone. Praise God. Amen. They're going to be gone. Let's pray fervently that they will be gone. And the time will come when we'll be able to meet more often again without all of these restrictions. And I want to suggest that if we want to finish the race, if we want to keep fit spiritually, we not only need to get fat on the Word of God, we need not only to be fervent in prayer, but we need to get fellowship with one another. Fellowship is so important. We need to be together on a Sunday. We need to be together as God's people in the week, because fellowship encourages us. Fellowship strengthens us. Fellowship builds us up. Fellowship is that place where we can be in that, like that father and son relationship I gave earlier on, where we can just be encouraging one another and building each other up in the faith. And there in Hebrews chapter 10, it says there in verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. But then it goes on to say this, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Takes us back to the fact that Jesus is coming again and that day is drawing near. In other words, what it means as well is that as we're running the race, we're getting a little bit closer to the finishing line. And sometimes the closer you get to the finishing line, if you haven't paced it right, you're going to be a little bit out of breath. You're going to be struggling a little bit, and you'll be looking at that, am I going to make it, or am I going to fall before I get there? Well, I want to suggest that coming together in fellowship together as the household of God is one means in which we can be equipped to keep going, to run the race, and to finish the course. And so can I encourage you, you know, when the restrictions are over and when we begin to have other services again, prayer meeting or Bible study or whatever it might be, that within our hearts we'll become determined to do our best to be found in the house of God, where we can be blessed and encouraged and equipped to move forward in this Christian pilgrimage. So keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep focused on Jesus. Be determined to finish the race and keep fit spiritually. Get fat on the Word of God. Get fervent in prayer and keep in fellowship with the household of God. Amen.